Old man bedtime.
Mike has to go bed at 9, so.
That's fair.
What's up, fandom? My name is Josh. Welcome to a very special episode of the What's Up Fandom podcast. Oh, I did say my name was Josh already, didn't I? I think I said that afterwards. I got confused with myself. Joining me today is Sean.
Hello.
And for the first time ever, we've got Mike.
Hey, hey.
So, Mike, we brought you on here because Sean and I recently, this weekend, saw Dune 2, Children of the Dunes. No, that's right? Children of Dune is a different thing, but still.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we saw Dune 2, and both Sean and I had opinions, but we don't really know Dune. I never read it because it seemed daunting. Sean, did it seem daunting to you as well?
Correct. Yes, I never read the books either.
It seemed daunting and dry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Because it's Dune.
Yeah, the same.
So really, we thought the first thing was like, let's get Mike on, because Sean and I both were like, Mike's read Dune. Mike 100%. Has to have read Dune.
Now, disclaimer: I read Dune when I was 15 years old. About 30 years ago.
But there's 30 books, so you've continued to read Dune up until...
Well, I've got them behind me here, the first trilogy.
Look at the dunes.
There they are.
Just saying, like, look at the dunes. It's just so dumb. Oh, God, Mike's coming in hardcore. He's got a pipe and everything now.
Yeah.
I have a pipe.
Oh, I don't have a pipe with me. I'd pipe with you, Mike. Mainly, I would chew on it.
Right.
But yeah, so really, Sean and I, we don't understand the dunes, and we want you to explain to us about, you know, House Atreyu and all of that fun stuff, and tell us all about the dunes.
Did you see the first movie?
Yes.
Yes.
Wait, which
have you
one?
Seen?
Which
have you seen the 1984 version of Dune?
I have.
I saw it on Sci-Fi when I was probably 10.
It's about the age I was when I first saw it. Came out in 84. I think I saw it for the first time around 85 or 86. First time it was on HBO.
So I've seen it, and like I remember, I know I had Patrick Stewart, which is a win. It had those weird like shell, like they were like brown looking shield things, and they looked really kind of dumb. Their little shield things I thought was stupid. But I liked a bunch of their stuff. Like I liked how the worm looked, like when it, you know, eats the watchmahoot and it comes out and like you've got all the billowy sand. I thought that was cool.
The lightning effects from the early movie were really cool. But I just recently watched that movie again a few days ago, the original 84 movie, and I realized very much that I view that movie heavily through the lens of nostalgia, because it really doesn't hold up as well as I thought it did.
It's not like Starship Troopers, which is timeless, right? Is that what you're saying?
That's accurate. That's
exactly what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So tell us about, first off, this is a spoiler podcast. We're going to be spoiling Dune, Children of Dune, Dune Among Men, Dune Worm, Child Worm Dune, all the dunes, I assume. I don't know.
All the sand.
So what is Dune about? is it just because, like, so what does Papa Atreyu piss off the governor, and then that's when there's like, I'm gonna take you from water world and now you're gonna be on desert world?
It's an oversimplification, but it's kind of spot on. The emperor of the known universe, Shaddam the Fourth, I believe, he's not liking that Duke Leto Atreides is becoming more and more and more popular amongst the noble houses of the Landsraad. So he devises this mischievous, cunning plot to depose the current rulers of Arrakis, House Harkonnen, to take away their giant money-making industry and remove their noble house from power and install his rival, his political rival, and the hated enemy of House Harkonnen in place on Dune. They're now getting all this money, and he knows that that the Baron Harkonnen will not stand for this, and they've actually got a side plot behind the scenes that, yeah, I know it's going to be okay. I'm going to lend you some troops, and you're going to eventually take back Arrakis and get rid of my enemy and your enemy, you know, two birds with one stone kind of scenario.
Does that happen in the movie? I don't remember.
It does.
I was in the new one. I don't remember them doing that. Okay. So
There was just a lot of dry in between.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. It was dry.
In between those plot points, I think. That's how I kept getting lost anyway. Like, I kept trying to follow the plot, and then there was just a lot of nothing, sort of, and then plot would happen. So I think that's why I personally was getting lost in the desert, so to speak.
Right. So, yeah. So the Emperor wants Leto Atreides gone. He wants Duke Leto Atreides gone. So he moves him into power, puts him on Arrakis, and pisses off his old enemy, the Baron. He knows the Baron is going to retaliate. He agrees to give the Baron, you know, however many of his Sardaukar shock troops to go finish the job. And
those are the he'll gain
the
white,
planet
right?
back. And
those are the guys in rival. White.
In the new movie, like they're in white.
The Emperor's troops. And then Dave Bautista is part of the other guys.
Dave Bautista he plays Beast Raban, Baron Harkonnen's eldest, I believe he's the eldest nephew.
Elvis is the younger nephew.
Yes, Fade Rautha is the younger nephew, played by Sting in the original movie.
Yep, Sting.
Yeah.
So, how close are the books to the movie, or the movie to the books?
Neither the new ones or the old one are completely faithful adaptations. But I think they do, you know, they do a decent job. I mean, Dune is, you know, it's a huge, big, thick book, and there's a lot of political intrigue and whatnot. It'd be hard to shove all of that even into a trilogy. So I think they stick pretty close to it. Although I think the director of the new movies has intentionally left out the Spacing Guild and most of the material relating to the Mentats, the human computers of the Dune franchise, so that he could focus more heavily on the Bene Gesserit sisterhood, because they're really sort of the prime mover of the plot in the books, if I remember correctly. Anyway,
is his sister like in the? Like, his sister is born in, like, the 84 movie, right?
Yes.
Doesn't she? Okay. They just kept her in the womb in this one? Or is she still in the womb in the books?
No. She's born in the books. They used the pregnancy to, like, mark the passage of time. I think a lot of the fans are kind of... it's a clever way to mark the passage of time, but that period of time where Paul was being accepted amongst the Fremen and taking the fight to the Harkonnens, it took place over a much longer period of time. It wasn't a like 5-7 month period.
And speaking of the books, how many books are there? Because it was a little confusing, I think.
There's a lot. Frank Herbert wrote 6 books while he was alive in the Dune universe. The original Dune trilogy, Dune Messiah and Children of Dune. And then he finished another trilogy, but I believe it was meant to be a quintet. So then there was God Emperor of Dune, Heretics of Dune, Chapter House Dune, were the next trilogy. He died before he finished it. He had 2 more books that he wanted to write. His son, Brian Herbert, went back and wrote a bunch of prequels, I think 4 or 5, I don't remember. And then the 2 books that his father, I think, had outlined, to finish the second trilogy and turn it into a quintet. So
So,
there's over 9 books, lots of books.
what's the prequel about? Is
The
it about
prequels,
women?
they deal with the great houses.
Oh.
The events of the prequels take place hundreds and hundreds of years, maybe even thousands of years. I haven't read them before the events of the first Dune novel. The first, they deal with, like, one of them's titled House Atreides, House Harkonnen, House Carino, which is the house of the Emperor, I believe. The Butlarian Jihad, and I don't remember the other one.
So with the Dune books, like, is Dune part one like the first book, or is it like part one of the first book, and Dune part two is like part two of the first book, or is Dune two Dune Messiah?
No, the two movies that we've got here recently are, they're all part of the first book. They're all events from the very first book.
Okay. Are we
As
done
I
with the first
understand
book?
it, they're already in talks to make Dune Messiah into another movie, and I've even heard rumor that D Children of Dune is going to be an HBO TV series, kind of like Game of Thrones.
Didn't they already do a Children of Dune with James McAvoy?
Well, they've done several things with Dune in the past that are laughable if you go back and watch them.
How does like it feels like in the movie, like, so going into Dune 2, it feels like oh my gosh, I forgot his name. Paul.
Paul
It's
Atreides.
like all of these names, and then it's Paul.
Well,
Paul.
to be fair, he was later renamed Usul and
But yes, and he is
Muad'Dib.
the Lisan al Gaib,
Yeah.
which we say. The memes from that is one of the best things that I've seen on the internet recently. They're
Oh,
so
I
good.
haven't dug into the
Oh,
memes.
dude, yeah,
I need to.
it'll be like, it'll just be like a quote. It's like Paul sneezes, and then it'll show a picture of Javier Bardem, and he's like Lisan al Gaib. It's
Again, it is the legend.
exactly. Just a bunch of stuff like that, and I'm loving them.
Oh,
But
you should go back and watch the original. There's a bunch of quotable lines. I mean, pretty much everything about the new movies is better, but there are some epic lines from the first movie delivered by Stilgar, 1984.
who was Stilgar in 1984?
Have you ever seen the movie The People Under the Stairs?
No. But so with, I mean, so now correct me if I'm wrong, like in this movie or Dune Part Two, it feels like Paul is like, no, I want to be, good to the Fremen. And then it's almost like on a dime. It feels like it's not a natural, like, changing character. It's just, oh yes, now I must be the Messiah. Basically, it feels like it just kind of like turns really quickly. And I don't know, I may have, no offense, if Sean hadn't come with me, I would have left. It's a very dry movie.
There we go.
It's a very dry movie, and I just, all of the hype that people were giving it, like, oh my gosh, it's better than the Two Towers and but stuff like this, and I'm just like, all right, you guys are setting the bar very, very high. And then I watch it and I'm like, you guys like this movie? Like, I didn't enjoy it. But to me, that was one of like the weird parts. Like, and also, is his mom Lisa? Is that her name? Lisa?
Jessica.
Jessica Al Ghaib. Jessica Atreyu. Is she supposed to be the villain? Because it definitely feels like they made her the villain. Like, Paul's just kind of there, and
From a
Jessica's
certain
like the bat
standpoint,
the
I
entire
guess you could
time.
consider the entire Bene Gesserit sisterhood the villain. I mean, they were the ones going amongst the Fremen. Spreading this propaganda, this prophecy of the coming Messiah, and building up this rumor of over generations, so that one day, the Kwisatz Haderach may rise up amongst them and spearhead this religious holy war, the jihad against, and to cleanse the empire and the universe of all evil. So
Don't they like?
I guess in a way she's kind of the bad guy.
Well, don't they like already break their own prophecy? Because isn't the prophecy like she's supposed to have a daughter, and then the daughter is the one that's supposed to have Ace Jesus?
No,
Worm
gosh,
Jesus.
I'm really having it. It's been so long since I've read the book. No, I think they always knew that the Cuisinart's Haderach was going to be a male.
Oh no, yeah,
But
it's gonna be a male, but
she was she but she was banned from having male heirs, male children with Leto, because what they originally wanted to do, she was supposed to bear women children, and then they were going to wed the Atreides girls back to a Harkonnen heir to reunite those two bloodlines.
are the Harkonnens, those are the super whites? Okay.
And you know that's kind of a departure from the book, because if I remember in the book, they were all gingers.
We don't like gingers. It's Hollywood. They hate gingers. Like replacing all of them is what they do.
What's really screwed up, and you find out at the end of the second installment, but Jessica Atreides, Lady Jessica, she's Baron Harkonnen's daughter.
That was a well, I mean,
So the Baron is Paul's granddaddy.
it's also weird that they're very much, and I'm sure it's probably more in the book, but they're very much like, hey, Bene Gesserit, we need you to go
Oh, yeah.
shag all these people so that we can get the strongest heirs, basically. Which I'm kind of like, you know what? That's actually pretty smart. Like I
Oh
approve of
yeah, they were
that aspect. I'm
the
like, hey,
greatest
that's
political manipulators in that world, in those in the in the in the Dune universe.
Do you remember how the space witches started in the book? Like where they came from? Did they come from like the
Space on.
machine people or?
No, it kind of, I can't remember which book it is. Like I said, it's been so long since I really read this stuff. There were a lot of different organizations and guilds, and there were these big guild wars, and the Spacing Guild and the Bene Gesserit Sisterhood were the only two guilds that survived. And you know, over the millennia, over several generations, exposure to the spice, you know, gave the Bene Gesserit their telepathic powers and whatnot, as well as giving the Spacing Guild the ability to, you know, fold space and allow faster than light travel.
Don't they use a giant alien thing for that?
They
Or
used
the person's like been like
genetically
just the
altered
spice.
spice altered what they call stage three and stage four. I think stage four navigators. So yeah, people that have really been exposed to spice, and it's changed their entire physiology and anatomy, and their minds are supercomputers and whatnot.
Like, because like that's one of the things I remember from the movie. Like there's like a big space baby and it like
Oh,
spits
from the
them.
original one?
Yeah,
Yeah.
it like
Yeah,
spits them into
that's
like
been
different
a big
places.
complaint amongst a lot of the hardcore fans. You know, the Spacing Guild wasn't hardly used at all, and the Mentats were largely ignored. But let's cut the guys some slack. That's a big story to tell. And, you know, if you're going to focus on one, I think the Bene Gesserit is the one to focus on. Certainly the more interesting.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like you go with the more interesting, because Space Baby would be fine. But also, it's like it's not gonna fit in what is it? It's Vin Denis Vin Villeneuve.
Yeah, I'm not going to attempt that.
Yeah. So, but it's de like, and again, I think Sean and I are both kind of on the same thing. Like, we enjoyed the movie. Like, the movie was fine, but I don't think it. Me personally, I don't understand the hype that it was getting. What about you, Sean?
Well,
What do you
I think the reason for the hype is, and whether you agree with it or not, for years since these books have come out, the Dune trilogy, especially the original trilogy, amongst sci-fi fans, this is considered to be the Lord of the Rings of the sci-fi universe, right? And it's just like the Lord of the Rings. It's pretty heavy reading. You got to read it a few times, several times, to really pull out all the nuance and understand how all the pieces come together. So I think the movies are probably going to be like that too. You're going to have to watch them a little bit, a few times, read the book, and be like, "Oh, okay, I this makes sense now." So the movies are very much for fans of the book.
But do we think that like the majority of people that are watching Dune have even touched the book?
Probably not, no. So that's what I'm saying. You know, I can you can look at this movie from the standpoint of, oh, it deviates from the book, or you can look at these as, let's just look at these, you know, as a separate story. Let's look at these as these movies.
See,
And I think if you do.
that's how I'm looking at it, and I'm just kind of like, as a movie, it's fine, but there are other movies that I'm like, hey, this is just, I mean, it's just a better movie. But I mean, that's also me. And like, there's it. What I did tell Sean was, a movie like Dune gives me hope for more sci-fi. And because I was telling him, like, I want them to do like the Red Rising trilogy. I'm like, bro, give me that stuff. Like, that's some good old sci-fi for me. And it's a new, and it's got a Hunger Games, Harry Potter, Game of Thrones, Battle Royale aspect to it that's really, really good. And it just kind of goes and gets better and better and better, because mainly because the kids, like, they start off as like 18-year-olds and then they're like in their 30s. So I'm like, cool, staying with like, you know, children.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, it gives me hope for stuff like that.
Oh yeah. I'm more into sci-fi movies than I am into sci-fi books. So yeah, I'm all for it. Let's kick some more out, Hollywood.
Sean, what were your thoughts on Dune 2?
Yeah, I mean, I largely agree with you, Josh. It was I can appreciate it as a really good movie in that they told like an epic sci-fi story well. But I found the majority of the movie, I don't know, boring for lack of a better word. Like
You did fall asleep.
I almost fell asleep multiple times, and I only fell asleep during the D&D movie once. So this one was more boring on the Sean falls asleep in the movie theater scale than D&D. But I also do agree with you though. Like I can appreciate that it was a good movie. And hopefully they continue to make them, and maybe I just need more of the story to get into it, because I wasn't into the story. I didn't feel there wasn't unlike Lord of
There
the
wasn't a
Rings,
lot of
couldn't.
story in this one. Like
No, it didn't feel
a
like there
lot of it's,
was.
it feels like, honestly, this feels like a second movie. Like, this feels like movie number two.
Yeah.
It's a lot of set dressing. And I was just kind of like, I would rather him, you know, just stay in the sand.
I still
And
don't understand. Yeah, when did he decide in the movie? Maybe I missed it. Maybe that was whenever I was sleeping. That he was, because he made a decision at some point, like that he was at first he was just leaning into the like the Messiah thing to get the Fremen to like take back their planet. But then all of a sudden he was like, no, wait, I am the Messiah. When did that happen?
well,
Like
it
I'm
feels like he goes, like, it starts off as like, yeah, I'm the Messiah, and then it's like, y'all don't need a Messiah. Messiah is nothing. And then it's, oh, hey, by the way, I'm the Messiah. It's like
right.
a weird, he flip-flops a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it that part of the story is somewhat simplified for the movie. The book is a bit more nuanced. It's more than just Paul wanting revenge for the death of his father. If I remember, you know, there was a little bit more to it than that. But yeah, there was definitely that transition from, okay, I'm just sort of playing him to get an in, and to, okay, I'm actually going to go through with this.
And when did that happen in the movie? Do you remember? Like, was there a
It's when he drank
catalyst?
the it's when he drank the
Was
Powerade.
it the worm pee? Is that what did
Yeah,
it?
so he
Yeah.
drinks the worm pee.
The water of life.
The worm pee.
Okay.
So he drinks the poison.
Right.
You know what? The fact that there was not, they didn't, like, you know, team up with like Powerade or
I
Icy to
know. Missed
make a power
opportunity.
of life,
Yeah.
you know, some sort of like limited drink, is like the biggest missed opportunity. You could have gotten with Sonic, and they could have done some like ocean water thing, be like, this is the water of life because it's ocean water. And yeah, it would have been amazing.
They could have paired it with the creepy sandworm popcorn bucket.
Yeah, with the bucket.
Tie in. Yeah.
I heard someone describe it as a phallic bucket, and I'm like, no. It's
the
not
unfortunate
phallic.
Fleshlight.
Yeah, the very unfortunate Fleshlight.
Yeah, I've got
I
two
mean,
of them.
It's great going in, but coming out, guys. Yeah.
I might get a third one this weekend. I'm going back.
If you do and you find one, will you seriously buy me one? And I will drive up to Tulsa and come get it.
I may.
It's like I kind of want one just like sitting back here, just so people be like, "You bought one of those Dune worm buckets?" Yeah, I did.
Hey, wait, did you see any of the clips of there were people at some of the theaters riding around dressed as a Fremen on the little sandworms? Yeah.
Yeah, I saw some clips of that. Yeah.
We didn't get that. We did not get that in our theater. No.
No, I didn't either.
Flix was like, don't mess around in the lobby.
Yeah.
I was there for the premiere of all of the Lord of the Rings movies, and there were plenty of people dressed up like elves and dwarves.
Same at Harry Potter. Well, lots of Potter heads. But yeah, like that's what it seems to me is like he drinks the coconut water of life, or oh, you know, it's Sobe life water.
I wanted a blue raspberry slushy every time
exactly.
I saw that.
Like the fact that they didn't do something like that, I'm like, man, get that blue Gatorade. So when he drinks that, that's when I think he does like the shift.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's able to look into the place that the Bene Gesserit are scared to look into.
And then does he talk to his baby Jessica, or is that just Jessica that talks to baby Jessica?
That's just Jessica that talks to Lisa. Aelia.
Aelia?
Yeah.
Guys, can we stop putting Anya Taylor-Joy in stuff? Like, really? I'm getting, like, Anya Taylor-Joy'd out. Like, she's in every damn thing.
It brings you no more joy to see
It does
her?
Not bring me joy.
Oh, that was a good one, too.
I would put her... I would throw her away if I could. It does not bring me joy.
I think we should have had the creepy little redheaded kid, like, from the first one.
I think so, too. That little girl... And then she speaks like this, you know, like that. Like, oh, wait, hold on. Can I do it? Hold up. I got this. Hold on.
Is that it? Oh, that's too high.
That's perfect.
Not until you tell him who I really am.
That, yeah. So, and is that a weird thing? There's not supposed to be. Is Paul like a warlock too? Because he's not a space witch. He's not a Bene Gesserit. So is
you
he
don't
like
know.
A Benny Lutheran or something? Because like he's a man that can. But he's a man.
He is. Quasar Haderach.
A what now?
He's the Quasar Haderach.
He's a Quasar Haderach. What?
Supermensch.
So he's a Quasar.
Yeah.
Is that a space wizard? Is he a Jedi?
Like a space pot. Yeah. Yeah. He's like it's like a. A space crock pot. He's everything in one.
Okay. There's a lot of things.
No, he has the full power of the Bene Gesserit sisterhood, but he's also got, you know, male energy, so he's able to look and to, you know, see things you know, more clearly or whatever it is. He's, you know, because of their femininity, they're only able to do certain things with that power, and because he's the Quasar Haderach, he can do what they can do plus what men can do, and you know, he's the only one that can survive the trial, so he is the one.
Interesting.
Yeah,
this is, it's so confusing, man. Like, it's like you're throwing words out and I'm like, you could start just making up shit, Mike, and I'll be like, all right, he's a penny dreadful.
Like, you really need like a diehard Dune sage to come in and explain this. Someone who has like labored over the books and who, you know, has the book all highlighted and passages marked to explain it, because it's really deep. That's actually one of the biggest complaints amongst fans of the books is that Frank Herbert wrote this multi-layered tapestry that's very deep, this sweeping epic with all this nuance and whatnot. And Brian Herbert came in and turned the books that he wrote into basically, I think, just like action adventure stories, and kind of left out a lot of the nuance.
Well, the world building's already built. That's
yeah.
Dad built the world, and now son gets to play in it.
But I think he changed. I think he changed a lot of it too. And with the prequels, I think he may have even sort of retconned some stuff in. I plan to read them one of these days. By God,
that's interesting.
So just knowing like what you remember about the books, Mike, like if someone was going to start to read, or more than likely Audible, the Dune books, just start at the very first one that Frank wrote?
Yeah, just start at Dune. You should definitely start at Dune.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I just restarted it. I'm on like chapter 5 or 6.
Okay. See, I knew this was going to work, Josh.
Do you understand how the water of life works and what happens to a Bene Gesserit, how they become a reverend mother when they drink that? What it gains them access to?
No.
If I remember correctly, when they drink the water of life, the old reverend mother sort of gives up her life essence, and it enters into basically her psyche, her ego, all of her memory, all of her skill, ability enters into the new reverend mother. And because this has been done time and time and time and time and time again, when you become a new reverend mother, when you survive that ordeal, having drunk the water of life, you gain the knowledge, skill, and ability of every reverend mother in that line going all the way back.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Aelia was in Jessica's womb when she drank the water of life, she got that too. So she was in the womb a full reverend mother. Now later on, this has repercussions. This is bad because, and one of the reasons they were like, "Oh my God, what have we done?" when they found out she was pregnant, is because in order to become a reverend mother, one of the things that you have to have is a fully developed sense of self. Your ego has to be complete, because if not, I can't remember exactly what they call it, but the echoes of the past, the memories of past reverend mothers, if you don't have a fully developed sense of self, they can take you over and essentially kind of like possess you. And because Aelia is just a little kid, she doesn't have a fully developed sense of self yet. Eventually, this comes back to haunt her. And because she is Baron Harkonnen's, granddaughter.
He takes her over, doesn't he?
Yeah, and because he's, you know, somehow or another, he's in there too. He possesses her, and for a while, their egos wrestle, and I think she eventually commits suicide.
Yeah, she jumps off a thing, like a cliff, like you do.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, Dune, if you want on Audible, it's 21 hours and 2 minutes. One thing I clicked on Children of Dune to see. I clicked on Dune Messiah. Dune Messiah is only 8 hours. And then I clicked on Children of Dune because I wanted to see, okay, how long is the trilogy? Children of Dune is 16 hours, but the title on here, it's the series is Dune Saga. It's book 14, but it's book 3 of Dune.
See, that's what I
don't, it's.
Oh, so they're including, they're including all the prequels then, all the ones that Brian Herbert wrote before.
There's Dune. 12 prequels?
Very, very well, maybe.
Or 11.
I know he wrote a bunch. I want to say he wrote like 9 books or something.
Jeebus.
Dang.
That's too much. So what's after Children of Doom? That's when the boy...
What's after Children of Doom? Emperor Dune.
Is that when he's a space worm? That's space worm?
Yeah. Yeah. That's when it gets really weird.
Because that's like 1,000 years later or something, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like, so yeah, so they have twins, spoilers, for the book that came out 30 years ago. No, it's more than 30 years ago. Yeah, so like they have kids and then like twins, because prophecy. And one of them becomes a space worm. And the other one goes on and like becomes like the matron of like House Atreyu. It's confusing, man. I tried going on Wikipedia and reading stuff, and I was like, bruh, I don't, what is going on?
Yeah.
It's so confusing.
It's like, yeah, there's like 24, 25 books total.
That's insane.
See, I knew it whenever I Googled it. There was a ton of them.
Yeah.
So
that's on like the level of the Wheel of Time.
Nothing good happens to Florence Pugh, right? The princess, like, she just doesn't she get like shoved off to the side, basically?
Oh, the Emperor's daughter, Princess Irulan?
Yeah, that's it.
She gets involved in Paul marries her, takes her as basically to prevent an uprising and solidify his place as, you know, the ruler of the known empire. So it's a political marriage. I don't think they love each other. That's one of the things that I think that a lot of people are complaining about in the movie was the way that they changed Chani in the movie versus the books. Because in the books, if I remember correctly, Chani wasn't even a warrior. She was a priestess. And she was perfectly fine with Paul taking Irulan as his bride because she knew it would prevent war. So she was like, yeah, do it. Because the Fremen, if I remember correctly, were a polyamorous society. They all had lots of wives.
They all into it.
They had sister wives.
They're sand people.
Yeah.
Sand worms.
Boring out there. What are you going to do?
I know.
It's fair.
They only ride worms so
often. Yeah, they don't ride worms.
That's one of my favorite lines from the original movie was when Stilgar says, Usul has called a big one. Again, it is the legend.
He's a Ghalib. Right. That's what I should have done. I should have got like a sound bit of Javier Bardem saying "Isa Naqib," and you just played.
You got to give it to Javier Bardem. He was great in that movie.
Yeah, I can't fault the acting of anybody except probably Timothy Chalamet.
You know, I didn't think I was going to like him initially because he looks closer to Paul because I think Paul's only like 14 or 15 years old in the book. And Kyle McLaughlin.
Timothy Chalamet will always look 14 or 15 years.
Right. Kyle McLaughlin was look way too old. I mean, he was great. I love that movie. But I wasn't sure when I saw him. I'm like, man, I don't know if this little skinny little kid's going to be able to pull this off. But I think he did a really good job.
Look wise, I think he's great. It's just, I don't know, some of his delivery. And it's kind of the same issue that I had with Wonka. Like, I think he's the weakest part of Wonka, too. And he's the title character. I don't think I've just seen a movie with him in it that I'm like,
well, oh my God, he's been, he came out of, I mean, I hadn't heard of him before Dune. He seemed to have come out of nowhere and he's playing these epic roles. You know, that's a lot to take on. I mean, even Willy Wonka, you're going up against, you know,
Gene Wilder
and Johnny Depp.
Yeah, I love him on SNL. I think he's great on SNL. Like, maybe I need to see him in more. Has he done, like, any comedies? Because, I mean, I'm going to be real. Wonka's not a comedy.
It's
kind of dark.
Yeah, and you watch it and you're like, all right.
Yeah.
This is more of a musical than I thought it was going to be.
Well, you know, in the original, you know, Gene Wilder would get that look on his face and he's like, man, he's really going to watch these kids die and enjoy it.
I can make you in the chocolate.
Gene Wilder was so good in that.
Oh, stop.
it's just weird because, like, and maybe it's because I need someone better than Timothy Chalamet to be the role of Paul, but then I don't know who you cast as Paul. It's like it's just a weird one. Like, I don't know who you cast.
Yeah.
I just wonder, like, the trilogy, like, how many years do you think that takes place over, Mike? Like, from the start of the first to the end of the third? Is that, like, over a human lifetime, or is that just 5 years?
Kids.
Well, I think it's, I want to say it's at least 2 generations, if not 3.
Okay, all right.
Because it kind of follows the Atreides line down through.
Because, yeah, Paul doesn't die until Children of Dune.
Yeah.
So I wonder how they're going to...
He goes crazy for a little while, you know, and really kind of, you know, buys into his own legend, I think, and, you know, like any sort of man god would. But it takes place over a great number of years.
And then
I just wonder how they're going to do that.
Desert like Solomon. sorry, I kind of interrupted you there, Sean.
No. I just wonder, like, if they're going to do a like, the Messiah... Like, are they going to keep any of the same cast and try to, like, age them up in some way? Or are they going to do a completely new cast? Like, what? I wonder what their plan is there. If they continue
with their sort of sped up timetable, they could just keep existing cast.
Yeah, because there's supposed to be a child, and there's no child in Dune, so you can kind of, you know, play with it a bit. End it on a happy note where they have, you know, kids, and then they're like, yay, it's a happy time. Chani is not gonna die in childbirth like Padme.
Yeah.
Spoilers. Again, the book came out, 50 years ago?
Right, right, yeah. Well, I think the original, hold on.
My mind goes in. He's flaunting us, right? He purposely went up, I'm going to put these books out here.
Yeah, that was the setup.
100%.
Yeah.
Is this a first edition, Mike?
Oh God, no. This is a recent edition.
First editions are all prophecy. Oh, it is an archive.
Well, I think 65 is when it was first written.
Oh,
okay. All right.
60 years.
Nice.
So, sorry for that spoiler.
Yeah.
There are worms. I like the baby worm. It reminded me of like a trimmer mixed with like a little xenomorph. And I like
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or the Gould from Stargate. The Gould.
I like the trimmer comparison.
Oh my gosh, he's got it in like a slipcover.
Yeah.
What is that?
All my books are in slipcover. Yeah, 65.
Dude.
This is the movie tie-in version from the 80s.
Oh, that's dope.
That is.
So did George Lucas... No, I guess Dune would have copied George Lucas then. A movie, because it came out in 85 with the two moons.
Moon?
Or were there two moons in the book? Or did...
Oh, there were several. I mean, many of the Arrakis had several moons or whatever in the original book.
Interesting.
But I mean, that probably isn't the first time a sci-fi universe had multiple moons either.
What was the first... That's
fair.
What was the first sci-fi property to have multiple moons?
Ooh, in book form or
just we'll say property, because I mean it could be a book, but it could have been, who knows, it could have been a play, it could have been a radio drama, probably wasn't.
Well, I don't know. Modern sci-fi, I think would probably have been somewhere around the turn of the century, like around the early 1900s is what we consider modern science fiction. Planetary romance and like, you know, Flash Gordon and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know.
That's fair.
That would be a fun one to look up one day.
Yeah.
So Mike,
pretty blue pages.
Oh, like their eyes.
Like their eyes,
that's
yeah.
So good. That's so good.
So I got a question. So there's a part where they all got blue eyes, right? And you're not supposed to get blue eyes until you like drink the water of life, right?
Oh no, it's prolonged exposure to spice in the atmosphere.
Okay. Well, cuz so like it was weird cuz like Jessica didn't get blue eyes until she drank the juice, and then baby Jessica got blue eyes cuz she was stuck in that well. And then no baby Jessica reference.
That was good. Okay. No, that was good. That was good. Yeah. She got out of the well though.
Yeah, not yet. She's still in the well.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
So baby Jessica's still stuck in there. She's gonna have to crawl out sometime. But yeah, it's weird because like then when the blue goo goes in, that's when baby Jessica gets the blue eyes. But then Paul has blue eyes. But then it feels like he has blue eyes when he's in the desert, when he's desert mouse. And then
Wadib.
That's what I said. I use the translated version.
I mean, you got it. I mean, in the books, I mean, there's a whole like.
Yeah, is there like an appendix that?
Oh yeah.
You like, okay, good.
Yeah, there's that's a big long appendix, and actually one of the most expensive books to collect of any of the Dune editions is the Dune Encyclopedia. You're looking at $300 or $400 for a vintage copy of that.
For the Dune Media.
Yeah.
I should call it the Wormopedia. What are the worms called? Is it just
Shai Halud, the makers? They make the spice.
Oh yeah,
and are they?
Because in the out, right?
I mean, I can't remember exactly what it is. I don't know if it's like they're like some sort of byproduct, or it's like worm poop, or what exactly that it is. But they are the originators of the spice.
And are they in the universe? Are they simply just like animals? Are they supposed to be some sort of like demigod kind of like a higher pre-human race, right?
I can't remember exactly. I know they're not just simple mindless animals. I know they go into a little bit of that in God Emperor of Dune when the then Atreides, I think his name's Leto, when he's going through that strange wormy transformation. One of the creepiest looking book covers too. And there he is.
God
Emperor of Dune.
So weird.
Can you kill Wormy Al-Ghaib?
I think by that time he's so powerful, no. He is God at that point.
Can you kill a regular worm then? Like,
I wouldn't want to try.
So they can't like do like a pump 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 and then like put a nuke on a body.
Well, I know eventually when I think at some point planet Arrakis is filled with water and the water is poison to the worms. So I think that'd probably be the only way to kill one. Flood it.
And planet Arrakis was like a water world before it was desert, right? In the books, am I crazy? I could have sworn that was a thing. Interesting.
Wait, is Arrakis Dune? I thought Arrakis is where the Atreides came from.
No, Caladan. Caladan is the home world of the House Atreides.
Okay. What is Black and White World called?
Giedi Prime.
Okay.
Of course it's a prime.
It's a seat of House Harkonnen. I actually got in trouble with that. If you remember the original movie, they pronounced it Harkonnen. And I got into several arguments about that. Was one initially my biggest complaint about the new movies is they're saying Harkonnen. And I'm like, it's Harkonnen. But when I looked it up in the Dune Encyclopedia, I was wrong.
It's okay. I forgive you.
So it's Harkonnen.
I mean, that's what happens when you read book and then no one tells you how to pronounce book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said, I read it when I was like 14 or 15 and half the book flew over my head anyway.
I saw it when I was old and that movie flew over my head. Like there's so much nuance in it. And I'm like, would you recommend watching the 85 Dune? 84 Dune?
You don't need to. If you do watch it, it'll certainly give you an appreciation for the new movies. I think that's one of the things that I found most comical in my most recent rewatch of the 84 Dune was, you know, in the second movie, Dune Part Two, there a good portion of the movie was dedicated to Paul really working to be accepted amongst the Fremen. Right? He learned their ways. He became one of them. He didn't come in and be like, all right, I'm your ruler now. Well, in the original movie, that's kind of what happened. He walked in and he's like, I know you're the Fremen and you don't like off-worlders, but I'm the Messiah. And they were just like, okay. And the next thing you know, he's leading them.
Is 84 Dune better or worse than Krull?
Oh, gosh. Man, I don't know if you can compare those two. You got a lighthearted kind of kids movie versus a sweeping epic. Oh gosh, Krull's better.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Krull. Yeah. He's got that cool little like wispy thing. He goes,
yeah, dude, that's the best.
It's so cool.
Weapon.
Yeah, the best weapon. Yeah, they called it. You remember what they called that?
No.
The glaive.
Oh, it is the glaive.
Yeah.
But you know, that always kind of was weird to
that's
me.
That's not what a glaive.
You
know,
because it's not even a glaive.
But a glaive.
The glaive is like a pole arm, but yeah. Whatever.
Oh man, I love it. Do you think someone would probably get? Yeah, we're gonna call this a glaive, and they were like, "Bro, that's not what a glaive."
Did you guys remember the guy that played the wizard, tall of stature or short of stature, wide of whatever? The guy that played the wizard, the guy that turned himself into the tiger, was the same actor that played the school teacher in the original Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Willy Wonka.
There's a school teacher in Willy Wonka?
Yeah, you know, the guy that, you know, at the beginning of the movie, he dismisses them and, you know, sends them all home because, you know, there's a chance that there's one more golden ticket left. It's the same actor. I can't think of his name.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Willy Wonka in forever.
Yeah, that was one of the first movies that I had on VHS back in the day. Willy Wonka.
I don't think I ever. No, I've purchased VHS before, but I don't know what my first one was. I do know my first Blu-ray.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a great one. You're gonna love it. Godzilla.
The new Godzilla?
No.
Oh.
The Matthew Broderick
Godzilla.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that.
Oh, but it's a good movie. You didn't like Dr. Nick Tatopoulos?
So bad.
Kind of neat.
I'm a huge Godzilla fan. So
did you watch Minus One?
Minus One.
Yeah, Godzilla Minus One. Did you not see the new Godzilla, Mike?
The new, what, Japanese or Toho?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, Mike, it's so good.
It really is.
I'm sold on the Monsterverse now. No, it
looks bad. Mike, it looks bad. Godzilla and Kong, Purple Godzilla, Thanos Kong, that looks so bad.
I'm there for it, man. I'm there for it.
Mike, no.
I hope they find some way to bring back Mothra.
She won't. Mothra's too cool. They can't bring Mothra back. Do you think they're like, no, you can't have Mothra? Toho's like, no. You can't up Mothra. We've seen what you did to Godzilla. You made him fat. We've seen what you've done with Kong. He's stupid. You leave our bugs alone. I like Mothra. Mothra's my favorite of the giant mammals.
I agree. Yeah.
Whenever I got a Butterfree in Pokemon, I always named it Mothra. Fun fact.
Yeah, I like how they sort of alluded to that one. The Asian doctor, that female Asian doctor being one of the twins.
Yeah, I was telling Sean about that. Like, yeah, he didn't remember the two little Japanese pixie people that sing the Mothra song. It was the best.
Yeah,
the best times. So, Mike, kind of a last bit here. Dune, as a whole.
Mm.
How would you recommend if our listeners want to get into Dune, what's in your opinion, what is the best way for them to Dune the Dune?
Well, what age group are we talking about here? 20 and 30 somethings?
Yeah, 20 and 30.
Just watch the movies. If it sparks your interest, go and read the book. You know, I'd love to think that, you know, I could recommend a, what is that, like 600 some odd page.
21 hours.
You know, like, you know, well, depending on which edition you've got, you know, it's a 633 page book but you know, that's quite a hefty commitment. Ultimately, you should read the book. But if nothing else, watch the movies. If you like it, read the book.
I like how you said that, and it's like, it's not a paperback, it's the hardcover, and it's probably very small print.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. 693 pages.
It's a lot larger than a lot of the books that came out in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So, you know, it's not so much even the length of the book.
It's font size.
It's not a book that you can read fast. It's deep. You gotta read it and let it wash over you. And sometimes you gotta go back and read it again.
You gotta let it wash over you like sand.
Like the waters of life.
All right.
That was good.
So past stream renter by Dune Part 2. I guess we didn't really talk about Dune Part 2. Visuals were fine. The battle was kind of lacking to me. Like, there were way like the battle, I think, that we got, like the big one at the very end, a lot of it was we're watching other people listen to the battle and not actually, we don't see a lot of the battle happening. Unlike the first movie, it was like you were in that battle when the white people are attacking the Atreians and there's a horse and then gets stuck in a swamp.
Still too soon. I cried when Artax died.
Oh, Trax! Sorry. But yeah, so to me, it wasn't as good from like a space battle standpoint. And honestly, I think I looked away when I don't remember his name, Newt Gunray kills Gunny kills Dave Bautista.
Beastrabon.
Yeah. It's like, oh, Gurney.
Gurney, yeah. Gurney. Yeah. Like.
When Patrick Stewart kills Dave Bautista.
When the guy from the Goonies kills the wrestler.
Was Josh Brolin in the Goonies?
Yeah, man. He was the yeah. He was the oldest brother.
All I just know is Goonies never quit. That would, is that
Goonies never say die.
Same thing.
There you go. We should have had Corey Feldman as Paul.
Oh, I like it. Let's get all the Coreys in.
He's
there.
He's got some free time.
But there's not a lot left.
There's not a lot left.
There's only 50% of Coreys still over. Is Feldman the one that's dead? Or is that Haim?
That's Haim.
Okay.
Wasn't there a third one?
When you said Corey Feldman, I was like, wait, hold on.
No, it's just the two Coreys.
Just the two Coreys? Okay.
Did we get Charlie Sheen to be blind Paul? Like old blind Paul in House of Dune? No, Dune Children? Children of Dune.
Yeah, but we'd have to get him all hopped up on Tiger's Blood.
That's
or bring him, put in that performance.
We'll just call it Spice.
I'm here right, for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did you guys think of the visuals for Dune 2?
Oh, I think the visuals were beautiful. Visuals were beautiful. Yeah.
I agree. I couldn't agree more.
I do like those cool little we didn't get a lot of them this time, but I love those little dragonfly.
Oh, yeah. Thopters? Yeah. Those were way cooler than the little crazy flying houses they had.
Yeah, that was like
back in 84.
That was like an octagon that flew.
I will say this, in you know, the 84 movie was very much of its time, but the final scene where you know, the Fremen come in riding the sandworms with the big storm at their back, and they take on the Emperor Sardaukar and wipe out House Harkonnen. That entire scene was set to some epic music. I think Toto even did. I think Toto did that music. So it's some badass rock music, right? And they're coming in, and lightning's shooting out of the mouths of the worms, and they're riding on the back of them and shooting people with. If you remember, they had those strange, like sound guns, the weirding devices, you know, shooting people on the top of those sandworms, like mobile, you know, platforms. You know, that was badass. I kind of miss that, the music and the, but yeah.
There is one thing I do.
That was like, very 80s.
There is one thing I do like about Dune. The fact that everybody has a shield, so nobody uses guns, basically. Everybody uses the little knives. I thought that, I do think that's a cool little, that's nifty. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that it's a way that you can tell a sci-fi space epic and not just have it surrounded around like stormtroopers shooting like lasers at nothing. Like I like that. Yeah.
And I think that may have been why they went with creating the weirding devices for the 84 version is they didn't, I don't know, maybe they didn't have it in the budget, or they just didn't have the right person to choreograph all the, you know, like sword fights and knife fights and whatnot going on. So they would just give them guns.
They would have had to use more of that, at the time, I'm sure, ridiculously expensive gray shielding thing that they used. That like that brown gray shielding that they use when Twin Peaks is fighting Captain Picard.
You know, I think that was actually pre-Captain Picard. I think when did Next Generation come out? 87?
It's way before Captain Picard.
Yeah, and it was, you know, he had a mullet. You gotta have points for that, right? Bald on top and have a mullet.
I didn't think he had a mullet. I thought he I just thought he had poof on the side.
No, he had.
I'm pretty sure he
was. He was bald on top.
Yeah,
but he had a little party going on back here.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Interesting.
Especially when you know he sees him later in the movie and he's like a smuggler. He's got a party going on back there.
I think George Lucas read Dune.
Probably.
Interesting.
Like I said, it's the Lord of the Rings of the sci-fi world. That's at least what a lot of people claim anyway.
Real quick, speaking of Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe that George knew that Luke was like that, that Leia and Luke were sisters. Cause there's a lot of that stuff. Did you know they kissed three times in that? No, four times. There are four kisses between Luke and Leia in the entire trilogy. There's two on the lips in Empire. There's the one on Hoth, and then there's a really quick one when they're on the Falcon, like right before the end of the movie. She gives him a quick little peck on the lips, and it's like, I don't think that George knew at that time.
Interesting theory. Or maybe it was just, you know, it's Carrie Fisher, so I'm going to kiss her as many times as I can.
It's also perfect.
That's very possible, yeah.
We'll never know. She would have been awesome to have on the podcast. He'd have to use the like every 5 seconds. She'd be just swearing up a storm. All right. So pass stream rent or buy Dune Part 2. So are you going to pass on the movie? Would you say stream the movie? Would you say rent the movie? Or would you say buy the movie?
Me? I'm going to buy it.
That's fair. Jonathan?
I'm probably going to buy several copies of it. I'm going to buy a special edition of it. I'll probably buy a steelbook version of it.
Okay, get yourself a 4K.
Yeah.
Get the 4K. See if they have it on VHS. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. John, what about you?
I'm so torn. Before we came on this episode, I would have 100% said stream. But I knew this was going to happen. I think Mike has talked me into trying to be a Dune fan. So I'm going to say buy, honestly. Yeah. I'm going to buy it.
Don't be afraid to get a copy for yourself.
Yeah.
Remember what they say. Fear is the mind killer.
I want to be a Dune fan now. I'm going to buy it. I'm just not going to see it in the theater again because I'll fall asleep. But I am going to buy it.
I am on first one. That's a buy. Dune 2, Space Worm 2. It's a stream. It's a stream for me. I don't think it was as good as Dune. This is definitely a setup movie, which is weird because it's the end of the first book. So it's weird that, and more than likely it's gonna, like, Dune Messiah will probably be a 2-part movie. So yeah,
that hurt me in my soul hole, Josh, when you said that. So you're gonna own the first one and not complete the set and own the second one.
To be fair, I don't own the first one.
Well, but if you do, you have to go in and own both. Otherwise, you'll have an incomplete series and the universe will be out of alignment.
Actually, what I would probably do if they came out with like a collector's edition that had both of them together, I would rather buy that one. Because then I can have both and then just watch the first one and not have to watch the rest.
Well, but then you wouldn't have as many. See, I hate it. I hate it when they take like through a trilogy and make one big thing out of it. No, I want three separate things. I want many things on my shelves.
I don't like DVDs on my shelves. Like, books on my shelf are one thing, but DVDs, I don't know. I don't like DVDs on my shelf. I don't have a lot of shelf space. I'm getting rid of all this crap.
Are you anti-physical media?
No, I'm not.
Are you going the way of Best Buy?
I am not. I love physical media. Do you see this stupid analog garbage over here?
I have
Famicom.
I just got this. This is a special edition of the 84 version of Dune. Comes with an art book.
Ooh. What? Oh, I have so nice. That same what's that distribution?
Universal? I don't know. Arrow video?
Arrow, yeah. I have the Arrow version of that Tom Cruise fantasy movie.
Legend.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh. I only know because like it has that same little like bar at the bottom. See, that one's okay, that's cool. That's a cool poster. It's like your book.
That is cool.
But that I like that Sandworm too. It's less popcorn tub.
Yeah.
It is.
It looks cool.
That is a cool cover.
Legend was one of my favorite movies.
I didn't watch it.
What?
Well, I own it.
But you haven't seen it?
No.
Dude.
I wanted to watch it with somebody my first time because I felt like I'm probably going to fall asleep during this movie. Mm. And I haven't watched it yet. So I still have it. It's just there.
Okay, I haven't seen it in probably 20 years.
I've got it because the one that I came with, the Arrow one, came with both versions. I have the theatrical and then the director's cut, which apparently is better.
I don't know if I know the differences right off the top.
I don't know either. Yeah.
I think you don't find out that who's the bad guy? It's not Sting. It's
Darkness.
Yeah. Who is it though? Yeah.
Tim Curry.
Tim Curry.
Yeah.
I don't think you find like you don't like hear Tim Curry or see Tim Curry in the director's cut until like halfway, like until like at the end, basically, and you see him early in the theatrical. Yes. So I think that's what the difference is. They like kind of cut the movie up a little bit.
Interesting.
Was that Tom Cruise's only fantasy movie? It's got to be, right? Did he do any more fantasy films?
Not that I can think of. No, not that fantasy anyway.
Fantastic. Sci-fi stuff, but
yeah, he's done a lot of good sci-fi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys ready for Live, Die, Repeat 2 or Edge of Tomorrow 2?
Is it? I didn't know we were getting a 2.
Yeah, we're getting Edge of Tomorrow 2.
Okay,
I don't know what that
Edge
is.
Edge of Tomorrow, that's what they should call it. They should call it Edge of Tomorrow. If they're smart. Anyway, thank you all for joining me while we talked a little bit about Dune.
Yeah.
Mike talked a lot of Dune, and Josh talked a lot of shit.
I hope I didn't get anything wrong, otherwise I'm going to have a bunch of Dune bros clambering after me.
What do you call Dune bros? Doonelings?
They're going to take my Dune card away from me.
I like Doonlings.
Your Isan Al Qardi? No, that's bad. I apologize. Anyway, Florence Pugh. I feel bad because I like Florence Pugh, and I'm like,
oh. I know. I need her in more stuff.
Yeah.
Can we
replace Anya Taylor-Joy with Florence 100%. Pugh? I'm all for that.
Let's if you start that petition, I will sign it. I'll be your first signature.
Yeah. When I saw her, I was like, dang it, because what? Because we saw there were what two movies, like two movie trailers that had Anya Taylor-Joy in them, and then we saw Anya Taylor-Joy in them
at the movie. Yeah,
too much. It's too much joy. Let's calm down on the joy. But Mike, where can people find you social media wise? Because you have a fun thing that you do like every single day on your Insta.
Just on my Instagram at age undreamed of.
And what do you do there?
I talk about old books that nobody reads anymore. But post cool pictures of their pretty, pretty covers.
Mm-hmm.
And lament about the costs of said books to other book nerds.
What about you, Jonathan? Oh, you don't have anything, do you?
Yep. Nope. I am not on social media.
You should do what Mike does. You should take a picture of like different things every single day. Like what do you have a lot of?
Random stuff.
Yeah, take a picture of a random stuff every day.
And then just rant about it.
You want to start taking pictures of my video games?
Oh, yeah.
Posting that every day?
I can do that. That
would actually probably be a good amount of engagement.
Yeah.
I just took a picture of like, this is the Super Mario Brothers.
The thing.
In box. Isn't it cool looking? Yeah. What could I buy?
It cost $60, but back in my day, I could do that. Bucks. Okay, all right.
Like, yeah. It cost $60, which conveniently is still what it cost back.
Right, Steven. Yeah.
I am fighting the urge to begin collecting NES and SNES.
Oh, Mike,
never ending money pit.
Mike, you've not seen it. It's an addiction, my friend. I have now almost. I have almost all the Game Boys. I'm missing one. We've got the consoles galore. We've got the Famicom, the Nintendo, the Super Famicom, the Super Nintendo, the N64, the GameCube, the multiple N64s. If you want Japanese and English, we got both of them for you.
That's the one I skipped right there. It was the N64.
It's fine. It's is all right. You can skip that. I mean, you want golden... one? I can give you one.
Right.
Like, not lying. I just ordered another one. So this is how bad it is, Mike. Luke wanted a little part that you put in. It's called a rumble pack. The little rumble pack that came in the N64. Mm-hmm. In Japan, they came in N64s all the time. In America, it didn't come. You had to buy it because they tried to like package it with Donkey Kong Country because you needed the rumble. You needed the rumble pack with Donkey Kong Country.
Right. Yeah.
So you didn't get the little jumper thing. So I went online to Syndico, which is a Japanese site that takes like Japanese Yahoo, Japanese Mercari, Japanese Rakuten, all these different things, and like puts them together. And then so instead of, because like I can't buy anything off of Japanese Yahoo, that's just the way it works. I can't get anything off of Japanese Yahoo auctions or Japanese Mercari because it's region locked, but I can use Syndico and I can buy it through Syndico, and then Syndico sends it to me. So it's basically a proxy site.
Yeah, kind of like a VPN. Yeah,
exactly. And I was looking to try and find a stupid little jumper pack for Luke, and I found a couple, but then I found an auction that was, you can get an N64 inbox with a jumper pack inbox with a controller with a game with a bunch of cords and some other garbage for basically the same price. And I was like, okay. So I got that. So this will be my fifth N64. So yeah, Mike, if you want one, I will trade an N64 for a Dune worm flesh bucket.
No. I've been trying to. There's a guy on Instagram that I talk to regularly, and he doesn't have any AMC theaters in his area. He's offering $85, $90 for one of these buckets. So I was like, man, we only paid $35 for it, babe. We could make some profit here. We could just take that $90 he's going to give us and go buy two more.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. I will not part with my worm bucket.
You got to go buy more worm buckets, Mike.
Right.
John, do you want to go to AMC and see if we can buy a worm bucket?
I mean, I kind of do now. Yeah.
I'm going to go back this Saturday and see it again. Mm-hmm. See what I missed. Let it sink in and wash over me.
Oh. Do they have Powerade at AMC? Get some blue Powerade.
I don't know. But if they do, I'll certainly get some.
Blue Icy.
Yeah, Blue Icy. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh O'Kane. You can find the podcast on Instagram at What's Up Fandom, on Twitter at What's Up Fandom. PC for podcasts. All of our episodes available wherever you download podcasts as well. So Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, all those places. Yeah. We got stuff. We got fun stuff. We just had Avatar: The Last Airbender, the Netflix one. We just had that come out. And then next week we've got Star Trek: Strange New Worlds season 2 with executive producer Bill Wolkoff. So is he an executive producer? He's a writer. He's head writer, direct. Bill Wolkoff. I promoted him to executive producer.
Yeah, why not?
Bill Wolkoff will be here, so that'll be fun. So yeah, thank you both so much for joining me as we doomed it.
We doomed it.
How you doing?
How you dooning? It's terrible. All right, so for What's Up Fandom, I'm Josh.
I'm Sean.
I'm Mike.
I was really kind of hoping you'd be. I'm Isanagi.
And that's me. I am the Kuisatz Anorak.
Hi, everybody.
There we go.